We begin Be'ezer Hashem on Ches Amud Aleph. Just to bring everyone back up to speed, we had a machlokes tanoim, but a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon concerning this concept which we had started talking about already on Vav Amud Beis, and that is Tumah Hutra B'tzibur or Dechuya B'tzibur. Is it just permissible to go ahead with a carbon seber that has a fixed time and just go ahead with it, even if the carbon is tame, the person is tame, you can go right ahead with it, you don't even have to try to get around it? Or is tumah dechuya b'tzibur? That means if you have no other choice, or if it's too difficult to exchange the carbon or get another kayin, then you can go ahead with it, but otherwise it's preferable to do it betahara if you can. And the Gemara brought the proof to this based on a machlokes, a dispute that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon had concerning the tzitz that was worn on the metzach, on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. Is that tzitz meratzeh? Do you need that tzitz to be meratzeh when the Kohen is not wearing it or not? And Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that said that even though the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, there will be times when he will not be wearing the tzitz, that's okay because tumah hutra b'tzibur. Rabbi Shimon, who says tumah dechuya hi b'tzibur, and therefore that itself cannot be the thing to allow the carbon that is tumah to be pushed through, needs the fact that the tzitz is meratzeh, and as the tzitz adds to the help of allowing the tumah carbon or the Kohen who's tumah to allow the carbon to go through, based on the tzitz will sort of be a cushion and be a buffer between the tumah carbon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Shimon's opinion was an interesting chiddush, that not only if the tzitz is being worn on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, but even if it's just hanging on a peg, it could also be meratzeh, it could also be as an appeasement and allow the carbon to go through. We explained based on the pasuk of Tamid L'Ratzon L'fnei Hashem, two different ways of understanding this pasuk, and according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, he said tumen means that you always have to be cognizant and conscious of the fact that you're wearing the tzitz. And we brought this interesting braisa, which we discussed at length last week. The Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, this is at the bottom, last line of Zayin Amud Beis. The Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, Chayev Adam L'mashmish B'tfilav Kol Shah B'Shah. A person always has to, whenever he remembers during davening, and we have certain fixed times during davening where we touch our tefillin, the idea is just to remind ourselves that we are wearing the tefillin. Where do we know this from? Kal v'chayma mitzitz. It goes from a limud from tzitz. Uma tzitz she'im boya la'azkora achas, the top of Ches Amud Aleph now. The tzitz only has Hashem's name one time. And yet, Amra Teir, the Teir says, al metzchei tamid, there has to be on your forehead, tamid, constantly, shal yasiach daitim imenu. They may not lose sight or focus or not be mindful of the tzitz. We explained last week on Machlokes Rishonim. Some say it just means that you can't act in a frivolous way or lightheaded. Or some say no, it actually means that you have to be conscious of it at every moment. So if you have to do that by the tzitz, certainly by the tefillin sheish ben azkores harbe alachas kama v'kama, by the tefillin which has, we explained, 21 times it says Hashem's name, both 21 times in the shel yad and 21 times in the shel rosh, certainly you all can never be misiach das from the tefillin. That's the idea of always touching our tefillin, giving it a kiss. That's the whole idea. So we left over the question last week. What was that?
2 weeks ago
it was, so you don't remember. Okay. I left over the question 2 weeks ago.
It's one Kohen, one person to compare Klal Israel. Klal Israel,
yeah. Yeah. As every individual wears tefillin. So to the Kohen Gadol, wears tefillin, wears the tzitz.
No, the tzitz is only per individual, only for one person.
Yeah.
And the tefillin is for Klal Israel. So
what? But I mean, it's not a collective. Not Messiah Das. Every person wearing tefillin can't be Messiah Das. It's as if every person wearing tefillin is like the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz. So we asked, which was really the Birchas Peretz's question, the Stipler Zatzal. He says, if indeed there's a halacha, you have to touch your tefillin constantly while you're wearing it, the whole davening when you're wearing it, or in the days of the Gemara when they wore it all day, they have to constantly remind themselves they're wearing the tefillin. So what's the halacha about the tzitz? Does the Kohen Gadol keep having to touch the tzitz? You know, make sure he reminds himself of it, that it's there. No. Okay? We have one opinion. Do we hear anybody else?
Just concentrate about the tzitz, but not touch it.
Not touch it.
Especially because tefillin also.
Okay, I want to read you something, an old commentary. I'll tell you who it is in a moment. First let me tell you the pasuk. Pasuk says about the tzitz, this pasuk that we're saying the whole time, V'hoya al meitzach Aaron, you should be on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol of Aaron, V'nos Aaron es havein ha-kardoshim, he will bear the sin of any sins of the karbonos, namely where you have a karbon which is tamei, Asher ha-kishu b'nei Yisrael, V'hoya al mitzchei tamid, and it will be on his forehead constantly, L'rotzein lohem l'fnei Hashem. Constantly, we have two different interpretations, and Rashi and Chumash. He's an ancient commentator. Rashi in Chumash tells us like this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that says, only if he's wearing the tzitz could it be meratzeh. If he's not wearing, if it's hanging on the peg, it can't be meratzeh. How does he say, what does the word tamid mean? If tamid doesn't mean you always have to be wearing it, what does tamid mean? Nidresh al metzchei tamin melamed sheyemashmesh boi ba'oidei al metzchei. That he always has to be touching it while it's on a foot. Shalo yasiach daitei mimenu. From the Gemara in Yuma. Now our Gemara in Yuma only says about the tefillin. But it seems the way Rashi understands the drasha, if you do it by the tefillin, certainly you should have to do it by the tzitz. An interesting chiddush, Rashi says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should always have to, the Kohen Gadol should have to touch his tzitz as well, to always be mindful and make sure that he remembers about the tzitz. There is a question though.
But you said that's different. Tefillin is hiding on the case, the how, the bite of tefillin.
Yeah.
Tzitz is right.
It's big, yeah?
No, not big. It's open.
Open, yeah.
So that's the difference.
Yeah, Tosfos pointed that out. We mentioned last week, Tosfos said there is a difference between tefillin and tzitz. Tzitz, the Shem Hashem is on the outside, tefillin is on the inside. So that's why he says this comparison is only midrabbanan. Okay, yeah, that is true. But there is a question like this. The Gemara in Saita says that when the Kohanim do Birchas Kohanim, right? Oh, you know how to do it. You know, Birchas Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, so the Kohanim could stick their hands like this, straight ahead. Some do Kohanim do it like this, so the hands above the head. And the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says in Soita Daf Lamed Ches, may not raise his hands above the tzitz. Why? Because the tzitz, you can't be above the tzitz. Kodesh Lashem, that has to be the highest point. Don't raise your hands above that. So the question is that if the Kohen Gadol is wearing tefillin, so how could he go and check the tefillin? He's putting his hand above the tzitz. So how does the Kohen Gadol touch his tefillin all the time? There's a chiv. The tzitz is a question. You have to touch the tzitz all the time. But you have to touch the tefillin all the time. So how could the Kohen Gadol do that? So one thing we mentioned last week from the Shailu Meishu, that indeed the Kohen, whenever he wore the tzitz, he doesn't wear tefillin.
He doesn't wear tefillin.
Right. We mentioned that for a different reason, because you can't be mindful of two things at once. Evan has sent me an email with a possible teretz with that. But we said from the Shalom Eishiv, since you can't, according to the Rabbi, you can't be concentrating on two things at once, he said for that reason you don't wear the tefillin. But here will be another reason, that according to that you don't wear tefillin while you're wearing the tzitz, so he doesn't have to be feeling and touching the tzitz, the tefillin, while he's wearing the tzitz. However, according to the opinions that in fact he does wear the tefillin, even while he's wearing the tzitz, what do you have to say? Does he indeed, is he allowed to touch it or not? Rashi in Chumash tells us he does touch it.
Yeah.
Right? Rashi does check the tzitz. And could he also touch the tefillin? So some say that din of not putting his hands higher is only about Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim, there's no reason he has to put it above his head, therefore keep it only level to his head. But here there's a reason why he has to put his hand in order to make sure to touch the tefillin or touch the tzitz itself. So for that reason, you're allowed to do that. Yeah. The other thing you could say that may be the fact that he's in the Beis Hamikdash, and that itself is such a holy place, so therefore he doesn't have to be touching his tefillin or maybe even the tzitz all the time, because the fact that he's in such a kaddish dikah place, that itself makes him mindful of the presence of the tefillin and the tzitz that's on him. Let us continue the Gemara. Yeah.
Can you wear the tzitz and tefillin the same time?
The Gemara tells us that there's enough room between the tzitz and the hairline to put the tefillin.
That's it. It's covered just here.
The tefillin goes right over here.
Yeah.
The hat, the mitznefes, goes here. Then you have the tefillin right here. The bottom of the tefillin is here. And then the tzitz is over here. Perfect. I mean, there's just enough room for everything.
So, what you said, that he shouldn't put his hand over the tzitz. Why is the tefillin over the tzitz? The tzitz is kodesh l'Hashem. Why is the tefillin
above the tzitz? You have things above the tzitz. Even the mitznefes is above the tzitz. Right? And as
I guess it's almost a stumbling block. You're telling them not to put his hands over the tzitz, but the tefillin is there.
Yeah. Yeah, so either you say he doesn't wear the tefillin,
yeah, okay.
And if you say he wears the tefillin, so maybe during the time when he's in the Beis Hamikdash, wearing the tzitz, so he doesn't have to put, indeed, he will not have to keep touching the tefillin. Yeah, and it will be for other people outside who don't wear the tzitz or outside the Beis Hamikdash, that's when they're wearing. So we now continue the Gemara, four lines down from the top. Ulu Reb Shimon Damar Tamid Miratzeh. That Tamid tells us that it's always Miratzeh, no matter if he's wearing the tzitz or not. The Gemara asks for Haksiv Al Metzchay Vinasa. You see, it says that he wears it on his forehead, Vinasa, and he bears the sins. So you see, it has to be on the forehead in order for him to bear the sins. So Rav Shimon says, no, hahu, that pasuk tells me, it's just coming to tell me a location of where the tzitz is supposed to go. You know, he's supposed to wear it on the forehead. That's where you wear it. How does he know where the exact place of the location of where the tzitz is supposed to be? Says the Gemara, Nafkaleh, he learns it out, Me'al Mitzchay. Not only it says Mitzchay, but Al Mitzchay on his forehead, that's where he tells you it has to be. So the Gemara goes back, V'Rab Shimon Ami Tebele Me'al Mitzchay. You, Rab Shimon, could also learn from that pasuk that it's on his forehead, that's where you can tell me where it has to be. The Gemara says, you're right, I concede. Enochanami. You're absolutely correct. Rav Shimon could also learn from that pasuk the location of where the tefillin has to be from Al Mitzchay. So then Gemara says, so then we're left with an extra pasuk. Ela Al Mitzchay v'nasa my avodlei. So what does he do by the pasuk that it says it should be on his forehead, and then he could be v'nasa, could bear the sins? Omalachos. Rav Shimon says a very interesting principle. Roy lemeitzach meratze. If it's fit to be on his forehead, which means it's possible for him to wear it, we'll see what that's coming to exclude, then Miratzeh, then it could be an atonement, or it could be Miratzeh, even if he's not actually wearing it. But she'ein eroi lemeitzach, but if it's not even fit to be put on his forehead, if he can't even wear it, ein emeratzeh. What would be a case where he can't even wear it? La'afuke nishbaratzitz delei meratzeh. If the tzitz broke, one of the straps broke, let's say, and he can't wear it anymore, so you need to make a new one. In that case, since he can't even wear it because it's broken, in that case, Reb Shimon agrees that it will not be meratzeh. And this was what we started off before on the Zayin Amid Beis. Abaye said, Nishbara tzitz, everyone agrees that it will not be meratzeh. We explained from Rabbi Yashiv, Zolgazun sign. He has in the Sefer Ares, Rabbi Yashiv, it says that, of course, if it's a broken tzitz, why should I think it works? So he explained this as follows. The tzitz broke. doesn't tie on anymore. So what do they do? It's okay, we'll put this in Geniza and we'll make a new one. So they actually made a new one already. The problem was he made a new one, but yet he didn't have a chance to wear it yet. So before you wear the new garment or the new vessel to you use as a kli sharis, it cannot be sanctified. So it's sort of, it's an in-between stage, it's in limbo. They already made it, but they were not sanctified, they were not mekadesh yet because he didn't use it. On that, Rabbi Shimon says, that's still meratzeh. Even such a case, that could be an atonement, that could be an appeasement. However, if it's broken, and you didn't yet make a new tzitz, that everyone agrees, is not going to be meratzeh. The Rishash has an interesting question. He says, when you're telling me it has to be that the Kohen Gadol could at least be able to wear the tzitz, so he says, so what about on Yom HaKippurim? When he goes inside the Kodesh HaKodesh, we're not allowed to wear the tzitz.
Yeah.
So if he can't wear the tzitz, there shouldn't be an atonement for them.
That's right.
But that's the Torah.
No, he's not allowed to wear it.
That's the Torah commanded him not to wear the tzitz when you go to Kodesh HaKodeshim. So if the Torah commanded him, that's what Hashem wants.
Okay. Get a little better, Close.
Well, Kohen Gadol doesn't wear the tzitz all the time anyway.
No, Kippur, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, not allowed to wear because it's...
The day atones, the Kippur atones, by itself.
Yeah, that's if you want to say the Yom Kippur atones. But if you say that's the tzitz, that's meratzeh,
yeah.
And all you need is that he should have the ability to wear it, but he doesn't have to. So here in Yom Kippur, he doesn't have the ability to wear it. He's not allowed to wear it.
But this, he's not allowed to wear it.
No.
Somebody's telling you you can't wear it, but the tzitz intrinsically is okay.
Okay. Now we have a full teretz. You said the first half, you said the second half. Very good. It's the old difference between the gavra and the chefza. We told about there's the problem with the person or the problem with the item. On Yom HaKippur, there's a problem with the person. The Kohen Gadol cannot wear it. The tits itself is perfect state. It can be worn. It certainly can be worn. As opposed to the case of the Gemara, where the tits actually broke. So there's a problem intrinsically with the actual item, the tits itself. Oh, for that can't be meratz anymore. That's too late. Very good.
So what do you mean meratz?
Again, that means that as long as you have the tzitz, Hashem says, Kohen Gadol, you wear the tzitz, that'll take care of, even if the kohen is tamei or the carbon is tamei, you could still bring it. I won't be upset at you that you brought a carbon which is tamei.
Even if not Kohen Gadol sacrificed them.
Yeah, even a different kohen doing it, yeah.
So it doesn't matter, every korban that's...
That's tzibur, and fixed time, fixed zman, the tzitz could be meratzeh.
Korban tamid also included?
Yes.
Does anyone ask the question as to the significance of a korban that becomes tamei on Yom Kippur? I mean, nothing happens without Hashem's oversight. So Hashem set the circumstances for the behemoth to become,
tamei.
So, I mean, does that have any, the commentaries speak about the implications of this? Is Hashem telling us a message to do this? Nothing happens by chance.
Correct. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that what? There were 10 nisim that occurred in the Beis Hamikdash every day. We'll actually see there were more of them. So Gemara and Yuma. So we will see it in Mirtz Hashem. And that many miracles that occurred on a regular basis. And one of them is
there were no flies
and that no carbon became tamei.
So this is all hypothetical.
That's in case something happened, just in case.
But what you see from there is that indeed, of course, if for every carbon that doesn't become tamei, of course, you need divine intervention, and it shouldn't. You need Hashem's watchful eye, kaviyachol. So if it does, you want to, it's a bad omen that a carbon becomes tamei on Yom Kippurim. I don't know offhand that we know such a thing.
The commentaries don't question it.
Yeah. You have sometimes the Kohen Gadol was on a very high level. For those learning Daf Yomi, you remember the Gemara in that of Menachos? Shimon HaTzadik, the last Daf of Menachos. Shimon HaTzadik one year came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was the Kohen Gadol, and he had a very sad face, and he says, this year he's going to die. How do you know that? Because every time he goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim, he sees a...
Lorry.
Huh? It's a malach with white, and this time the malach was wearing black. Who the malach is, not clear. Was it Leo Anovi? Tosfos says it was the Shekhinah. But he used to have an image of someone wearing white that showed him it would be a good year. And this time the person was wearing black, or the image was wearing black. And he knew he wouldn't make out the year, and right after Sukkot he passed away. So, indeed, the great tzaddikim, like Shimon HaTzaddik, were in tune to those things. We must finish because we know there's a famous Gemara in Yuma on Daf Tes Amid Beis that deals with why the Beis Hamikdash, first Beis Hamikdash, second Beis were destroyed, and we're just about to get into the Bein HaMitzarim in a couple of weeks, so we want to make sure to do that Gemara before. It'll be very timely. Let's continue the Gemara now. How does he know that if the tzitz broke, minolei, how does he know that it cannot be meratzeh? Nafkalei, he learns it out, mimeitzach mitzchoi. The Torah could have said, v'hoya al metzach tamid, it says v'hoya mitzchoi, an extra vav, and he learns out an extra vav that it has to be the perfect tzitz, and if it's broken, it cannot work. No, that extra vav, he says, I don't use that as a whole extra explanation. I don't expand on such a thing. We now start a new Gemara. Everyone take a breath. Okay. Let us say that these Tanoim, namely Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who said, you say, means anytime you have a kohen which is tamei, it's okay to bring it, no questions asked. Or, it's the chuya, better not to bring it, better to find another way out of it, but if not, you can push it through. Let us say that this, we find another set of Tanoim who seem to argue about this same concept. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Okay, we're going to go digress to a whole different topic. For those that remember Dav Dalet Amud Aleph, we mentioned this Braisa over there in passing. Back in the Mishnah Dav Beis Amud Aleph. Ooh, now we're really going back the memory bank. What's the first Mishnah talk about in Yuma? Shivas Yamim Koyim Yamakipurim. Ma'afrishin Kohen Gadol mi'beis, so we separate the Kohen Gadol for 7 days before Yom HaKippurim. Which other Kohen do we separate for 7 days before he's about to serve?
No, Paraduma. Paraduma?
Yes. Very good. The Kohen HaSeref HaSapora. The Kohen which is going to burn that Paraduma and turn it into ashes, he also we separate for 7 days. Now during those 7 days, says the Braisa, Echod zeh, both the Kohen Gadol before Yom HaKippurim and the regular Kohen is going to burn the Parah Aduma, Mazen alav kol shiva, they sprinkle him for every day of the 7 days, Mikol chatoi shoyusham, from all of the Para Aduma ashes that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Divrei Meir. What's all the ashes of the Para Aduma? So Rashi Amdavdala told us two pshatim. One pshat is that every Para Aduma that they had a total of 9 altogether, every one, the 10th will be when Mashiach comes, every one of those Para Aduma ashes, they saved a little bit and mixed it with the next one. So from all of the chatois means, from all of the ones that they ever did in history, starting with Moshe Rabbeinu, they sprinkled it on him. Another pshat is that they sprinkled that Parah Aduma that existed at that time, plus some of the ashes that they had from the Parah Aduma of Moshe Rabbeinu. They saved some of those ashes also. But either way, from all of the chatois, they sprinkled for every day of the 7 days on the Kohen Gadol, and this Kohen who's going to burn the Parah Aduma. Who says this? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, no, Ein Mazen Olav Ela Shlishi Ushvi Bilvad. From those 7 days, day number 3 and day number 7, they sprinkled him. Who else gets sprinkled day number 3 and day number 7? Anyone who's Tamei Meis. We just learned this in last week's Parsha Chukas, right? Good. A third opinion, Rabbi Chanin Eskana Kayana Maimer, he splits it. Kohen HaSeref HaSapara Ma'azan Olav Kol Shiva. The Kohen is going to burn the Parah Aduma into ashes. He gets sprinkled every day of the 7 days. But Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim Ein Ma'azan Olav Ela Shlishi Ushvi. Okay, so you have the three opinions. Either both all 7 days, both 3 and 7, or Rav Chanin Eskana Kayanim, the Parah Aduma Kohen, all 7, the Kohen Gadol, 3 and 7. So my lab, isn't this what they're arguing about? Rabbi Meir Savar Tuma Duchuyi Betzibur. That Tuma really, ideally, should not be brought when it's Tamei. And therefore, we have to make sure that the Kohen Gadol is going to be entirely purified. And therefore, every day of the 7 days you sprinkle him. Why? Because we're not sure which one of those days are day number three, day number seven. Oh, now we're getting confused already. Why? One second. Why? Because it could be this Kohen Gadol, if in case he did become Tamei, when he comes for the 7 days before, day number one may be actually day number three. So let's do it today. The second day that he's secluded, he said, you know what, actually today could be day number three, because maybe 3 days ago, 2 days before he became secluded, he became Tamei. And the third day you do it, because maybe he became Tamei 1 day before he became secluded. Right? Now, then day number seven, he said, oh, could be this is the seventh day. Maybe he became Tamei right before he came to the 7 day seclusion, the Lishkas HaParedrin. Right? Day number six is, maybe this is the seventh day. Day number five, maybe this is the seventh day. Then we'll see, day number four actually can't be neither what the first of the three, nor the last of the
three.
So we'll see, actually that one we're going to do away with. But we're saying the Kohen Gadol, in order for him to be, make sure he's Tamei, he's not Tamei, we're going to sprinkle him every day of the 7 days. So Rabbi Meir, that requires every day of the 7 days for the Kohen Gadol to be sprinkled, must hold about Tumei is Dechuyei B'tzibur. Let's try to avoid it. Let's avoid it and have him sprinkled every day. Rabbi Yosi Aimer Tuma hutrihi betzibur. No, you don't have to do it every day of the 7 days. We don't have to make sure absolutely that the Kohen Gadol is tahor. Why? Because even if he's not, tuma hutrihi betzibur, for a carbon tzibur, it's okay. Even if it's tummy, you go right ahead with it. So the Gemara says, v'tizbura, does that make sense? E sover abiyasi, heterhu betzibur. If you say indeed you're always allowed to bring a carbon tzibur, even when it's tamei, so then hazah klal lomali. Why would he even have to have hazah even day number three, day number seven? He's kicking himself in the ball. Why didn't you ask that question? It's an obvious question. Elo, we have to say rather, the kuli alma. Everyone must hold that it's not ideal to have a kohen who's going to be tummy. A kohen who's tummy. And therefore you must sprinkle him. So what's the machlokes? Why would you say all 7 days? Why would you say only day number three, day number seven? Rather, v'hacha b'hacha miflegi. This is the machlokes, Reb Meir and Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Meir Savar Amrinan Tevila Bizmano Mitzvah. Rabbi Meir says that he holds that Tevila, to be immersed in a mikveh, and not only immersing in a mikveh, but the same would be sprinkling the ashes in the water on someone who's Tamei, should be done in the exact time. And it's a particular mitzvah. Rashi learns that from a pasuk, is a particular mitzvah to have it done in the right time. Make sure you go to the tevila in the day when you're allowed to. In other words, let's say it becomes the time where a person is able to go to the mikveh. This also is relevant to women who go to the mikveh. Say after 7 days, you go to the mikveh. That night she can go to the mikveh, or that day a kohen can go to the mikveh. And he says, you know what? He has a little cold. He has the sniffles. He doesn't want to go to the mikveh. He'll wait a couple of days. You're allowed to do so or not?
Kohen, yes.
Kohen, yes. What about the woman? What happens? What do? Strike her with lightning? Take away her license? Well, what do we do? Huh?
Pray for a mosque.
So the answer is there's no sin in that. In terms of the tefillah, obviously we're talking about the if it's a night to have marital relations with one's husband, that's a whole different discussion. And the Beis Yosef brings from Isaiah a very strong wording of someone who tries to push off the mikveh when it's a night that a woman goes to the mikveh and there's supposed to be marital relations. But just the fact, let's say when they used to even go to the mikveh just to become tahar in order to handle food in Betara. Is there a mitzvah to go on the first possible time? Or, it's no big deal if you push it off a day or two. So that's a machlokes. Rabbi Meir says it's a mitzvah, tefillah b'zman a mitzvah, it's a particular mitzvah to go in the right time of going to the mikveh. And the same, he will learn, based on a hekesh comparison of the pasuk, that it's a mitzvah to do in the right time the sprinkling of the blood. Therefore, since he doesn't know exactly when the right time is, right? Let's say you don't, you know, if you know exactly where your target is, and you have a good shot, then you just take a pistol and shoot. But if you don't know exactly where your target is, so what do? Take a machine gun and just start spraying, right? So, pardon the analogy, but that's what we're doing with the Kohen Gadol. If we knew exactly what day number 3 and day number 7 is, so just sprinkle and spray on day number 3 and number 7. We don't know exactly. Therefore, a mayor says, spray every day of the 7, and hopefully you'll hit number 3 and number 7. So Remeu says tefillah b'zman a mitzvah, therefore do every single day in order to do it on the right day. Rabbi Yaisi is not so concerned about that, therefore he says do day number 3, day number 7. He'll have at least 2 days, and even if it's not the exact right day, it's okay, you got 2 days, and with that he'll be tahor. Says the Gemara, listen to this, we might have to, oh, we have a little time. A very interesting b'raisa the Gemara brings now. V'savar Rabbi Yosi lo yamrin and tefillah b'zman a mitzvah? Could it be that Rabbi Yosi does not say that it's actually indeed a mitzvah to go to the mikvah or to be sprinkled on in the exact right time, the first possible time when you can do that? V'hatanya, we learned in a b'raisa again. Again, we digress to a different topic, but then brings us back to the discussion at hand. Haresha hayashem kosov al b'sarei. Interesting case. Somebody had one of the names of Hashem written on one part of his body. Let's say he had it on his arm. He had the shame Hashem written on his on his hand.
What do you mean, tattoo?
Not tattoo, because that won't come off. The tattoo is like the Rishonim say, makis is still that is there for either forever or for a long time. It's very difficult to come off. But no, it's just written over there. It's written in pen. Somebody wrote in pen Hashem's name. Yeah? Why did he do that? I don't know why he did that. But now he has Hashem's name on his arm. So this guy has big problems now on his hand. He has big problems on his hand. No pun intended. Why? Because he can't go to immerse in a mikveh. Because why? Because it's going to be wiped off. Oh. Now what exactly is the problem with wiping off? So it's interesting, we'll see a machlokes. Rashi here says the reason is because you're going to be having the name wiped out, and there's an isser in the Torah to erase the name of Hashem. This is one of the things you're concerned. Sometimes you write Divrei Torah, can't just throw it out. You write Hashem's name in some form. Sometimes you get it in the mail, sometimes you get it on an invitation. It says Hashem's name. Yeah, it says Baruch Hashem. Yeah. So you can't just throw that out, and you can't just erase that. So here, this person has it written on his hand. So one problem, Rashi says, it says in the Parshas Re'eh, he says, you have to destroy Avodah Zarah. V'ibadetem es shemam. Destroy their name, the name of Avodah Zarah. And then the Pasuk says, lo yisasun kein l'Hashem alekeichem. Don't do that to Hashem. We learn from there, you're not allowed to chas v'shalom destroy the name of Hashem. So Rashi learning the problem, if you have Hashem's name written on your arm, you go into the mikveh, you're going to be erasing the name. Others learn the taste of Yishanim says, if you look in the Gemara and Shabbos, we see that actually to be Geirim, to only indirectly cause that name to go out, doesn't seem to be such a problem, the Gemara says. Rather, the problem is that if you go into the mikveh, what happens? We go into the mikveh unclad, with no clothing on, and you're standing with no clothing on in front of that Shem Hashem, and that's the problem. Not because you're erasing the name, but rather because you're standing unclothed. So listen to what the Gemara says. Let's just finish the Brice and then you'll ask questions. Haresha haya shame, kosav abasare. He had Hashem's name written on his skin. Hareza lo yirchatz, he can't bathe. Velo yasuch, he can't smear himself with oil because he can erase the name. He's not allowed to stand in a place which is inappropriate, in a smelly place, can't stand in the bathroom. However, let's say he has to go to the mikveh because it comes time to go to the mikveh. So now we have an eitz of him, we have a suggestion. He should wrap it around put some bandage around and go to the mikveh like that.
There's no chatzitza, no?
Yeah, well, that type of chatzitza is only miyat on the guf, is only a midrabanan. Yeah, miyat is not makbar, is a midrabanan. So that's what you have to do. Rabbi Yossi Omer, yoyred v'tevel kedarkoi. You can go to the mikveh, uvavashali yishavshev. You can't actually rub it off, so you can't take a shower and rub yourself with it, but you can go to the mikveh. And what's the reason Rabbi Yossi says you can do that? V'kayim alon, the reason why we establish, he says that, the betfila b'zman mitzvah kom iflagi. The Tana Kama of that price is sovereign. I mean, it's tefillah b'zman mitzvah, therefore it's not so essential that he go to the mikveh. Rabbi Yossi sovar, tefillah b'zman mitzvah. And that's why he says you must go to the mikveh, and even though there seems to be this other problem of immersing in a, possibly erasing the name, or possibly the din of Tevila Bezman Mitzvah will override the fact that you're going to the mikvah, or possibly erasing the name. Now we mentioned before, Rashi says the problem of you're causing the name to be erased, but the Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ritva ask, it can't be, because the Gemara Shabbos says that by just indirectly causing the name of Hashem to be erased, there's no Isser in that. That's mutter. But rather, what's the problem going to the mikveh?
Like you said, no clothing.
Because you're without clothing. So they ask Akasha, for those that remember, there's a Gemara in Sukkah. There was a time, a story with David HaMelech, a very interesting story brought, that David HaMelech sort of was digging for places to build the Beis Hamikdash. He ended up bumping into what's called the Tahaim, and the water started from the depths of the earth, or started coming, and it was going to flood the world. Yeah?
Flood the world?
Yeah. And David HaMelech said, I don't know, and the only way he knew he was going to stop it was he would write Hashem's name on a piece of earthenware and throw it into the waters. And then the waters would stop and subside. But he had a question, is that mutter to do? And he says, if anybody knows the answer to this halacha and doesn't tell me, we'll be punished. In the end, Achi Teufel told him, but Achi Teufel was still punished because David HaMelech said, the whole story is over there, Ayin Shom in Sukkah, Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. But the question is, what do you mean? If you say it's no problem with just indirectly causing Hashem's name to be erased, so what's the problem? Why couldn't he write it down, David HaMelech, and throw it into the waters and it'll stop?
Like the Sota.
Similar to the Seder, very good, right? And there the Torah says before you have to do that, you're allowed to do that. Hashem says, you allow my name to be erased. But here he had a question. But what's the question? It's only indirect. So, one Torah says that over there, it's a little bit different. Why? Because this is a Torah from Reb Chaim Eiser. Reb Chaim Eiser Grudzinski in the Achi Ezer writes that indeed, for the problem of Leisas and Kein LaHashem Leichem, do not do this to Hashem, there's no problem if you're indirectly doing that. No. But there's also a mitzvah asay of Es Hashem Leichem Atira. You always must fear Hashem, and including in that is having tremendous respect for Hashem's name, which is written. For that, even maybe indirectly causing the name to be erased, maybe would not be mutter. And that was part of David HaMelech's question. So you have sometimes, you have not only a Leis asay, but you have an asay and a Leis asay. A positive and a negative commandment even on one mitzvah. So that's just the brice over here. So we come out and you see Rabbi Yossi indeed holds Tevila Bezmana is
mitzvah.
A mitzvah. So therefore Rabbi Yossi, who says Tevila Bezmana mitzvah, why would he say you only have to do it on day number 3 and day number 7? That's the Gemara's question. And let's just finish the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Elo deku, about 6 lines are from the bottom. Elo deku le'alma, everyone holds Lahani Tanoi. Amrinan Tevila Bezmana mitzvah. Everyone agrees Tevila Bezmana is indeed a mitzvah to go in the right time. However, this is the machlokes. Rabbi Meir Sovra Makshina Nazola Tevila, that we compare sprinkling to immersing. Rabbi Yossi Sovra Le Makshina Nazola Tevila. We do not make that comparison of tefillah to hazo. And as Rabbi Yehi says, of course, if you have to immerse in a mikveh, that I hold as a mitzvah to go bizmana. But the fact to sprinkle on someone who's tamei or kohen gadol, he had to do that in the right time, that I say you don't have any explicit pasuk to tell me that. You want to compare it to the pasuk? Rabbi Meir, you could compare it. I don't make that comparison. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Chanina, Skana Keanim. What do you hold? This third sheet. If you indeed say you need to go in the right time, and Azo is the same, so even Yom HaKippurim should have all 7 days. And in a Loi Makish Azo L'Tvila, if you don't make the connection and comparison from Azo sprinkling to Tvila, so Afilu Kain HaServas Apar Nami Loi should not need all 7 days. The Gemara says, Lo'olam Loi Makish, really, he says, you're right, I don't compare, I don't say you need to sprinkle in the exact time. The kohen aserefes apara my lo ba'almo. The only reason I require for the kohen who's going to burn the paraduma to have sprinkling every single day is because it's a mila, special added chashivas that we gave, significance that we gave to the paraduma, as we'll see in the base, since we had some leniencies that we specifically, if you remember from that, back in that base, they were metame the kohen who was serif as hapara. They made him tame in order to avoid the mistake that Sadukim was saying. So since we were a little bit light in terms of the tum over here, we had to add some stringencies in other areas, and therefore Pinim Meskanakam says sprinkle that kohen every single day. But the bottom chesem and aleph, we'll hold it here, Bezer Hashem.